This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesh and Footy with Sam Wykes and Ginny Rao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora Māori to our Kiribati listeners, and of course, hello to everyone else from across the Pacific. Welcome to Neesh and Footy, the place where we are obsessed with our Pacifica talent in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and as usually, my mate who lives and breathes Rugby League, Cook Island Kiwi, Tinira Arona T. Welcome back for another episode, mate.
Kia ora, Sammy, and kia ora to everyone listening here on Neesh and Footy. We have a huge show lined up for you. I'm going to cover two of the golden points that was involved in round 18 NRL. You're going to cover all the rugby union international games. We've got Shelley Long covering all the women's footy, but I want to speak about our guest today. Now, he made his NRL debut at the age of 27 for the West Tigers in round 14 this year. He is my 2021 Cook Island World Cup roomie. So we shared a room together for a couple of weeks.
This will be good. Some stories here.
And his name is Ruben Porter. So really looking forward to catching up with my good friend Ruben, a great bloke. And a story around, I want to ask him about that resilience and how he stood in the fight and just chased his dream to play in the NRL at the age of 27.
How good is that? Let's rip in.
Moment of the week.
Well, Sammy, I did say that I'll touch on the golden points games that were in the NRL, one of them being the Bulldogs versus Warriors.
But that's the doggies.
My moment of the week is not the game, but it is actually a player, a rookie, a player that made his debut for the Warriors and came off the bench. He was born in Tofoa Tonga. He's only 18 years old, and his name is Leka Halasima. Now, this kid, when he came on the field, he took a hit up, seeing a Bulldogs jersey. The first jersey he sees, he runs right over the top of him. Then he also has this moment where he could have won the game, where he's hit this hole, ran, made a break, ran about 40 metres, almost scored the try. Unfortunately, he got held up by the Bulldogs players. But just that, you could see that energy, that intent.
18 years of age.
Tongan player, Leka Halasima. That's my moment. Watching this kid come on and represent the Warriors and play with that passion, that intent. Even the coach, he mentioned him after the game. Just really excited about this young player. Said he does this on the regular at training. A huge moment for myself watching it live.
Hey, are we looking forward to him playing in the red jersey? Pacific Nations Cup?
No doubt. He is a star of the future. Leka Halasima, remember his name, and he is my moment of the week.
Hi, I'm Mona Lisa Soliola, and you're listening to Neesh and Footy.
Well, let's cover the news. I'll kick us off. NRL, two close matches that both went into overtime. The first one, the Bulldogs beating the Warriors 13-12. Now, Sammy, I went, got some tickets to this game.
You were supposed to give me a call. You said you were going to give me a call.
Sorry,
I was waiting for that phone call because you got some tickets, and then... Oh, yeah, obviously he hasn't. I saw you at the game on your Instagram story.
I apologise, man. I've totally forgot. You know how much stuff's
on. I wasn't going to go anyway.
How much is going on in my life right now. So that was just a mind blank.
Nah,
my
you're bad. All good, mate. We'll go next one.
You
next
pick
one.
Whatever game you want to go to, mate. It's on me.
Thanks, mate.
But going to the game, over 27,000 people. And I believe this was my first time I ever sat with the Bulldogs fans. Never really quite got an experience like that where they are so passionate. They were screaming for their team. The Dogs of War, the fans have all come out. They are
Dogs
on.
Army was out there.
The Dogs
in full
Army.
Force.
Funny thing was, I went with my cousin and my other family members, but my cousin, he's a diehard Warriors fan. He puts his Warriors jersey on. I'm like, bro, you can't yell
can't
it.
Do that.
He's like screaming, you can't do it here. So he starts being quiet. And then after the game when Matt Burden kicks the field goal, he went, didn't even say goodbye to me. But it's good to see all them fans coming out. And in terms of the game, look, It went back and forth. There was some, especially in that first half, there was some good back and forth momentum, you know, going set for set. And you can really see the players getting after that game. But there were a couple moments for the Warriors. Look, they lost Chance Nickel-Klotz there. They lost Marcelo Montoya. They also lost Dallin Watine-Zelezniak through injury. So they had to reshuffle their team. But Bulldogs, they showed their grit. They showed why they are fifth on the NRL ladder right now. And, you know, their 5'8", Matt Burden, he had a, you know, one game that potentially could have pushed him into the Origin team. But, you know, he kicked the winning field goal. He made an intercept. But also, that Fijian back rower, Viliami Kikau, he put one of the biggest shots on the Warriors players. Well, sorry, on a Warriors player.
Absolute bone rattler.
And it just changed the momentum for the Bulldogs. Little moments like that, he just made that one count.
Warriors on the attack here, right-hand side of the field.
Oh, big hit from Kikau on Lusick. Lusick was rattled.
On top of that, he scores one of the two Bulldogs tries. Jesus, kid is having a season.
8 metres out, hand in the air from ref Chris Butler. Last play, Canterbury. Comes to Sexton. Crossfield bomb high up in the air. Launching. Kikau brings it down, goes into score. Brings this game back to life and the Bulldogs with it. 12-10, kick to come, Canterbury.
Second game, Sea Eagles beat the Cowboys 20-21. Another one that went in overtime. This was won by the Queenslander veteran, Daly Cherry-Evans, kicking the winning field goal. But Manly, in this game, they decided to play their returning star, Tom Trbojevic, at centre. So usually he comes in the team as a fullback. But because he went to centre, opens that play, that position for Tongan player, Tolutau Kola. Now, I thought this kid, he had one of the best games of the season. Kola, he had 27 carries, ran for over 300 meters, made 7 tackle breaks, and he made this line break showing his speed. He could have scored it himself, pinned the ears back, get to the corner, but he decided to pass the ball to Jason Saab, and Saab went over to score his third try of this match.
Cowboys are 8 meters out. Robson passes to Neame, drops it. Jake Trbojevic picks it up, gives it on to Kola. Kola breaks the first line. He's up to halfway. 3 chases after Kola. Gives the pass to Saab. 20 out. Beats the tackle of Holmes. Beats the tackle of Felt. And Jason Saab scores a hat-trick to complete an amazing try for Manly. Set up by Kola.
Quick shout-out to Jared Weeder Hargreaves, who his huge milestone, 307 games for the Sydney Roosters, most capped Rooster in or ever. So congratulations to the veteran.
Oh, he could have been Jared. A rugby union star too. Oh, he started there. Man, let him go.
In the New South Wales jersey flag, the Panthers beat the Cavite Silk Tails 36-16. That's 15 losses on the trot for the Cavite Silk Tails.
15 losses.
In the Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters, they beat the Turrbal Devils 20-18. They are now sitting 8th on the Queensland Cup ladder. Now, some news. My old teammate, Sydney Roosters teammate, Jason Rolls, he is now the new head coach for the Parramatta Eels.
Oh, nice, nice.
New South Wales Origin squad. No Latrell Mitchell. He's been replaced by Newcastle Bradman Best. And Hamole Olakau'atu has been dropped off the bench. And Mitch Barnett, the Warriors front rower, back rower, he is now getting his opportunity to make his debut for New South Wales. And in the Queensland Origin squad, no Xavier Coates and Murray Taulangi. They've been replaced by Kalen Ponga and Dane Gagai.
Beautiful. We're looking forward to that. Let's get into Test rugby. I love Test footy. It's definitely, I'd say it's our equivalent of the Origin in terms of like the hype, the fans getting behind it, the community. It's a good time of the year to see those rivalries come to fruition. And it happened throughout the whole weekend. I see you smirking over there. You're not feeling that equivalent, are you?
No, I took the screenshot that I was going to send it to you, but It just has here, the Australian Wallabies received over 200 less views in their recent test match against Wales to what an NRL game receives on a regular Friday night game.
Yeah, you're talking about the Sydney market, but you look at the global market of the game.
I just thought I'd throw the line out there. Got a good bite, my
yeah,
people.
Get out of there. Hook, line, and sinker. Get out of your rugby league and your two-state competition. But anyway, we're going to kick off the test footy with Manu Samoa defeating Italy over in Apia Park in Samoa, 33-25. All right, this was a great first-up performance from Samoa. New coaching group with Schwalger coming in and Mapasua not being there from the last World Cup. We have a new captain, Theo McFarlane. We spoke about him last week. And also some experience from last year's World Cup not there. We see your cousin, Lima Sopwanga. No, there, like Mikey Alaalatoa. No Christian Lili'ifano. No Selala Lamb. So there's plenty of experience missing from that team that played in the World Cup last year. They also had a short prep time, and with all those changes, I thought Samoa were probably very well organised. It's probably the best I've seen them for a first test match. I love their game management from their spine, their halfback, Jonathan Tamatene, D'Angelo Leuila at 10, Danny Tawala at 12, and Duncan Payo at 15. I thought that spine really controlled the game against Italy. Like, I think they really understood what needed to be done in certain parts of the field. They kicked well. They defended well. I thought their midfield, as I mentioned, Danny Tawala, he was put on some massive shots in the middle. And it was probably evident when you look at how organised they were from their first two tries. You look at their first one there from Murphy Tatamai. Quick ball from the ruck. Tamatene was getting out nicely, finding his runners. And Tatamai just hits this beautiful unders line, goes straight through, scores, does a dive. But the best thing, Danny Tawala, he dives and scores as well, like behind him, like as in a try celebration. He leapt up in the air as if he was a try scorer. I hope his shoulder was all right. And then their second try, it was a great line-out win. I think it was a really good part of their game, their set piece, the Samoans. They hit midfield. They come back to blindside with a special play. And Duncan Payo slicing through the defence, puts a grubber kick in for Nigel Wong to score in the corner. Italy were known for scoring a fair few more tries in their Six Nations. It was probably their best Six Nations they've ever had. And for Samoa to really nullify their maul and stop it in its tracks was outstanding. But that double effort, as I said, to be able to stop it, then get around the corner, put on those shots and cause some crucial turnovers to stop Italy scoring some tries, I think that was a big part of why they won that game. The only thing I was disappointed with the Samoa, I thought there would have been a few more Samoan fans at the game. It was a pretty small crowd.
Held in Apia.
Yeah, held in Apia. Oh, I thought.
Really?
I'm not sure why, because it's a Friday afternoon game. Work, not too sure, but I thought there would have been more there for that first up test match for that one.
So it didn't really compare to when Moana Pacifica went to Tonga and Tonga.
I don't think it did. Nah, I don't think it did. But nonetheless, they were still vocal. It was very noisy out there, and especially when Monty Ioane, who we highlighted playing for Italy on the wing, yep. You know, he did score a try in that game, but there was a moment there where he got shot at, like, and he caught the ball, and one of the boys put a big shot at him, and the crowd just boom, straight up on their feet cheering. But it was good for them to get their win in front of their home crowd, and hopefully that win it inspires the crowd to come and show up for more games. But then we go over to Fiji. They took on Georgia in Georgia. Fiji winning 21-12.
The flying Fijians.
Off to a flying start. Mick Burns, first test win as head coach. The thing that was great about and pleasing about this win is with the way Fiji won. It was a tight contest and they had to grind it out for 80 minutes. In the past, they probably would have lost these type of games because an area of the game was off. They would have been ill-disciplined. Their kicking would have been aimless. They probably would have missed easy conversions or their line-out wouldn't have been functioning well. But it wasn't the case in this game. They really showed up and improved in all those facets of the game. And it really capped off their performance because there was no three tries in 5 minutes. There was no miracle passes. It was a genuine grind and they had to play that tough footy and be direct. And they found a new way to win, which is going to be vital for when they verse the All Blacks over in San Diego next week. They're going to have to find different ways to win when they don't get their way and when it's not as open. But so I think they were just rewarded for their efforts. And a big congratulations to Penny Ravi, got his 50th cap, for the Flying Fijians, and our man Isaiah Armstrong Ravulla got in the 65th minute to get his debut cap. And as I said, mate, he could be still playing in the 20s.
I remember when you caught it early last year.
It would have been this time last year when we watched the 20s.
When you mentioned his name, and since then he's just, you know, gone on and turned into a superstar. So you got an eye for it, mate. I tell you what.
Oh, mate, it's not hard. It's not hard when they stand out like that with his talent. But some other big news, the Wallabies, after 12 months of pain, they got the win.
That's why you're looking a bit more
I'm upbeat, aren't I? Yes, my Wallabies,
you've
the
come
gold.
Through, mate.
Yeah, it wasn't a pretty win. It wasn't expansive or like that free-flowing rugby that people love to see. It was a very simple game plan. They played a lot off nine. They played tight. They kicked when needed. They played the perfect style of test match where it's just about winning the small moments. And what they did really well was they stayed connected in defense. I think in past, we've probably, like the Wallabies have maybe tried to have a blend of New Zealand style of footy, you know, where they've got that flair and they play at the back, they play with width, and their game breakers can, you know, get through the contact and do some freakish things.
Israel Folau.
That type of game plan. Yeah, so when we've had those players, whereas this side, I don't think we've got the superstars as the other countries, quoting Donny Singe, a lot more toilers.
Yeah.
You know, so we had crafters in there just doing their job and just doing it effective and just playing their role.
Similar to the Canterbury Bulldogs.
Exactly. Exactly right. So it's going to put them in the position to win footy games more often than not and be competitive. And I thought when they had their opportunities, even though they were limited, when they had their opportunities, we saw Filippo Dangunu score a beautiful try, working hard off his left wing, receiving a ball at the back, breaking through the line. He was on a bit of a treadmill, to be honest. I thought he was going to show more gas than that, but he finally got there in the slippery conditions.
Heavy track, mate, heavy track.
Yeah, we'll put it down to that, the heavy track, and slides over for a beautiful try from the Wallabies. So a great start for them. Other news, the World Rugby Under-20s Trophy, Japan putting on a clinic against Samoa, 81-7. That means Samoa have conceded 200 points in two games and have only scored 21 points. So it's not 123 from the first game against Scotland. So there is an improvement, but a lot of work to do there for the Samoan team. That is rugby union done and dusted.
Oh, well, let's head over to Shelley Long with the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, we are here with our PNG Orchid star and North Queensland Cowboy NRLW player, Shelley Long. Shelley, how has your week been?
It's been good. It's been a great start to the week. I'm loving it so far.
Pre-season, what's that? What are we?
Readiness.
Oh, readiness season. What's that, week three?
It's actually week six.
Oh, you're joking.
Sammy's been away too long.
Sorry, I've just on Marshall Island time. I'm on Samoan time, Fiji time, so I'm just getting up to date. But week six, how's the body? You're breaking records?
Not breaking records, but I'm getting there, you know. Week six, it's definitely getting a little bit harder. You know, the body's sore, the fatigue's starting to kick in, but it's looking good. We've got a trial match this weekend, so I think that's definitely something to keep us excited about and definitely keep working on what we need to work on.
Well, it's always good when the trials come around because training starts to taper off. All the hard, you know, conditioning, fitness tests, they all just taper off and then you start preparing for the games. Is it the same in your camp?
Not yet. We haven't quite seen that tapering down, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. On Saturday, you know, I thought, oh, yes, going to cruise into this session, but it was definitely still really hard.
Well, let's hope that there's no injuries then this coming trial match. How's the so who are you playing this weekend?
We play the Titans in Cairns. So for the first time ever, the game will get taken to far north Queensland, not just Townsville, but even far north, so Cairns. That's exciting for us. We'll go up there and we're doing 3 days. So we're doing a lot of community work, getting out into the community, meeting some of the younger kids, and it'll be good.
A nice little change up, you know, doing that before the game. Are those minutes prescribed? Like when you're doing those trial games, beforehand from the coach saying, oh, you'll play 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there? Is that how it is for this first trial game?
Yeah, definitely. It will be minutes prescribed. At the moment, we're not 100% sure of what our minutes look like. I think we're just going to go into this season, keep working really hard, and then towards the back end of it, when we're leading into the trial game, he'll probably tell us.
And it's 3 weeks until round one in NRLW season?
Yes, that's correct. 3 weeks. It's exciting. The countdown's on. It's almost here.
And how many trials are you girls will be playing?
We're only playing one. So for the first time ever this year, there's actually been quite a lot of teams who have participated in trial games. We were fortunate enough to have one last year, but several other teams have come into that idea of playing a trial game before the season kicks off, which is exciting. Gives the audience more time to watch the sport and watch women in rugby league.
Sometimes readiness season, it can be a bit of fool's gold because everyone wants to do well, win the competition, and it doesn't play out that way for a lot of teams. But for yourself, the Cows, what's been different from this readiness season to last year's preseason?
I think just that drive and determination. You know, when you lose, well, when you don't do as well as what you were expecting the year before, it definitely takes a toll on you and it makes you understand and realise, okay, there's a lot more that we can do to be better. So let's work on that. And I think that determination and drive is definitely something that has been within our team and within that cohort of players that were here last season.
Yeah, it's awesome. And even with the shorter NRLW season, I think it's important to get out the blocks and get that early form. You don't really have much time to, you know, lose them early games. Is that a focus for yourself and your squad?
Yeah, definitely. That completion and being able to have consistency is something that we've really been focusing on. Last year we won some, lost some, and that type of situation isn't very helpful, like you said, T, in a shorter season. So for us, we need to be making sure that we're building every single game and hopefully completing and taking away some wins.
Great work, Shelley. Well, I'm sure you'll do well up in Cairns. Now let's rip into the news. Rugby league, what do you got for us?
So, trial match on the weekend, Raiders versus Knights, their first ever time versing each other in a trial game out at Wagga Wagga on Saturday. They ended up coming away Newcastle 28 points to 8 under new head coach Ben Jeffries. So they're looking really good. Unfortunately, though, there were a few injuries in that game. So Newcastle Knights player received a leg injury whilst Robins Retty, who plays for the Canberra Raiders, was carried off the field along with Tungai leaving the field with a concussion. So already in our first trial game, that's 3 injuries. So definitely something to keep an eye out on, and hopefully they have a speedy recovery in time for round one of the NRLW season.
Damn, it's not what you want to hear after your first preseason head out.
No, not at all, especially as you said, when it's a short season, those injuries, even if it's 3-4 weeks, it's the bulk of your season gone. So hopefully there's not too many more in these upcoming trial games before round one kicks off. But is there any young Pacifica superstars that you've got your ear close to the ground that's going to light up this competition? Because there's one from the Roosters that I'm looking forward to seeing. It is Alia Nasio, a Tongan back rower. Young, she just turned 18. She's been chomping at the bits to be able to play NRLW. She's a beast. But do you have anyone else that you've heard of?
Oh, I'm definitely looking forward to someone like Mona Lisa Soliola with the Raiders. I know that she had her debut last year in the NRLW, but I think she's someone that with another year under her belt will definitely bring some flavour and spice to the NRLW. So she's someone I'm excited to look for. I'm excited to watch this season.
Well, she can actually throw a discus as well.
With a saucepan, I think it is.
With a saucepan, yeah. With a bit of
toothpaste.
Pillows or toothpaste.
Still trying to work that out.
What are you guys talking about?
Oh, well, yeah, we had Mona Lisa on the show, what was it, maybe 4 weeks ago, I think, somewhere around there.
I think
there.
We always say with all our guests, yeah, it's about 4 or 5 weeks.
It's always about that, somewhere there. But she was an amazing guest. But coming to rugby league late, She was just talking about some of the other sports she played and not having the resources, you know, the correct, tools to be able to use for discus. So she used the lid of a saucepan,
her father would take her to the park and get her to throw the saucepan with some toothpaste.
To stick. I'm still trying to figure out why. And then even when she was playing rugby league, she didn't have any boots, so she wore her spikes for the first time against her cousins just playing down the road. So she was one special guest that I think that was one of my favourite chats.
A great interview where, Sammy,
you can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
There you
Shelley, make sure you listen back.
Well, that's crazy. And you know what? I'd hate to be that cousin in case she trod on my toe with spikes. That would hurt.
Straight through the top.
Any other news in the rugby league space?
Yes. So we've got those couple of trial games coming up this weekend with Eels and Dragons versing each other on Saturday, along with Broncos and Tigers. And on the Sunday, the Sharks versus the Roosters. So you can catch all of those live streamed. But if you can get down to the stadiums and watch them, definitely do that as well.
Yes. And if you are in Cairns, head down and watch Cowboys take on the Titans. Shelley, there's actually a really big Cook Island community up at Cairns. So,
is there?
Yeah. We had a game then 2009 against Samoa, and they hosted us, put a big spread on the Cook Island community up there. So if you are listening, head out to the stadium, watch the girls, have a head out and cheer for our girls, Shelley.
Oh, I can't wait, guys. I'm excited. And if I can get that Cook Island community there, they'll be amazing. But also in some other news, and international news, the Gillaroos and England are looking to take a game over to Las Vegas next year as part of the Las Vegas tour. That's super exciting for women in rugby league. It's not officially confirmed yet, still in the talks. And like I said, it will be exciting if it does happen, though.
Have you been to Vegas yourself, Shelley?
No, I haven't. But, you know, I've heard it's quite good. So, Gillaroos.
Yes, so I was going to say, not yet. She hasn't ABC. Been yet. She's going. You're going as a player. I'm putting it out there, Shelley, for the Gillaroos.
We did try and plant the seed, and our boss heard last episode and sent me a text saying, there's no chance you guys are going to Las Vegas on behalf of ABC Pacific, but we'll keep trying to put water on that seed.
Do you know how we get there? We've got to make sure that Tonga, Samoa, Cook Islands get a game over there as their fixture. That way,
it's coming.
That's the excuse. Because of the Pacifica representation.
Moving on to rugby union.
Rugby union.
Much news in rugby union, Shelley?
Yes, exciting news, actually. The Wallaroos versus Fijiana on Saturday. Unfortunately, Fijiana took a tough loss, losing 64 points to 5. Their defence was something that they probably over the next couple of weeks will look to work on. But I think outside of that, again, when you still can manage to score points on Australia, that's something really incredible. And I think Fijiana will be looking to improve but also reflect on that game. In terms of the Wallaroos, they looked outstanding. Their attack was incredible and definitely something that really made them shine. Dikopesi Palu and Eva Kapani were try scorers in that game. So great, great time for our Pacific fans. But unfortunately, yes, Fijiana will look to improve. And this is only one of the three games that they'll play.
Fijiana, they've got they're going to travel to Scotland as well and play over there. They've also got their WXV competition to play. But you're right, their defence needs to be looked at. Like they scored the first try of the game, Fijiana. So they actually got off to a really good start, scored in the corner from a nice 11 pattern, hit midfield, come back to blind side, well worked. But it's their defensive systems where they really need to have a look at this week, just around this, just general stuff, spacing around the ruck, not shooting out of the line and leaving the inside person vulnerable. So hopefully they can rectify that defensive area of their game because we know what they can do in attack.
Oh, 100%. And I think as well, like you said, Sam, it's only small things that Fijiana have to work on. So that shooting out of the line, that spacing, that thing, those are things that they can do in a shorter period of time. So in preparation for versing Scotland and also the WXV, those are definitely things that they'll be able to improve on in preparation for that. And like you said as well, their attack is incredible. So when they get that ball, they're able to do such incredible things, which we love about Fijiana. So hopefully in preparation for those two games, that defence gets worked on.
Before we go with the trial game, backs or forwards? Have you cemented your position yet?
I've actually been going between. So I still run with the backs, unfortunately, but I have been going in and out of back row and centre this year. So that positional change has been interesting for me, but super excited for it. And hopefully in the trial game, I get to test out my skills in this potentially new position.
Do you prefer left or right?
That's so funny. I actually always get asked this, and I actually don't have a favourite.
You don't?
I just like being on the field. So yeah, if it's left side or right side,
yes.
I don't mind.
Just give me the
ball.
I've
got my coach's hat on. Do you carry the ball in your right hand or your left hand?
I can carry it in both. No, I don't.
Both hands, two hands, and you can change left, right, Fen. Yes.
No, I am a right-hand ball carrier, but I can play the ball with both my feet and both my hands.
Great work, Shelley. We look forward to talking to you next week.
And all the best this week.
Exactly.
Thanks,
we look
guys.
Forward to hearing about that. Take care.
It's Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Well, Sammy, today I mentioned earlier a huge guest, one of my good friends, my old roomie. He made his international debut for the Cook Islands in 2017 against Papua New Guinea. He's been in and out of different reserve grade systems in both Queensland and New South Wales Cup, chasing his dream and waiting for his opportunity to play NRL. At the age of 27, Ruben makes his NRL debut for the West Tigers in round 14 this year. And since then, he's played four games for the West Tigers. Ruben Porter, welcome to Nation Footy, brother.
No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I mentioned 2017, you made your Cook Island debut. What was that experience like for yourself?
Oh, it feels like a lifetime ago. That was pretty good. I think I was only 20 or 19, debut against PNG. Probably we didn't win that game, but it was a massive experience. It was sort of my first sort of taste of playing against elite competition like men, because I was still playing 20s back then. Yeah, all I remember was I actually got smashed by Jazzy Olam in that game, eh?
I'm sure there's many others, so don't worry about that.
Oh, there's plenty, yeah. Plenty others.
Yeah. T mentioned you were his roommate. Like, how did the hierarchy system work when you get into the hotel room? Like, do you take the far bed? Do you wait for him to put his bag on the bed? Like, how did that work?
Nah, man, I just, whatever he says, I do. You know, he's the boss. So I was just, whatever he wanted, I was just doing whatever he wanted. He was telling me what he wanted, so it was a good thing. Nah, but T was honestly, he's the man. A couple of late night runs to Macca's there.
That was going to be my next question. Who did the snack run? You know, that late night snack run.
Oh, there was a couple of boys, you know. Because I think you were the only one with a car in the UK for us, eh? That's why.
I was the only one with a car, so my car was the team's Uber driver.
Uber driver. There you go.
And it was like, yeah, here's the keys. David Moali loved a snack or two, so yes, he always took off for a couple of
days.
Made sense why you guys lost that game to PNG. But anyway, no, joking.
Oh, let's rewind it back to where we started, 2017. You make your Cook Island debut. What was your connection to your Cook Island culture growing up? Like, were you close to your Cook Island family, culture?
Yeah, no, I definitely was. So I grew up, obviously, in New Zealand and Wellington, a big Cook Island community down there. So obviously I grew up with my mother's side, which is my Cook Island side. So they were honestly just, we were hard out into Cook Island stuff, feed Sundays, go to Cook Island Hall, everything. So I kind of grew up around it, but then obviously moving to Australia, you sort of lose it a bit, and then just sort of reconnecting when we go into camp. Honestly, it's massive.
You mentioned you were born in New Zealand, Wellington, Porirua. What are some of the lessons that you learned as a young Pacifica rugby league player moving over from New Zealand and joining, you know, a great club like Sydney Roosters?
Oh, definitely hard work. Definitely hard work, dedication, and sacrifice. You got to sacrifice a lot of things. But yeah, the main one was hard work. You come over here and see how everyone works, and you're just like, oh, geez, it's sort of like a shock. Whereas in New Zealand, you can sort of, you know, get by just doing the bare minimum. But over here, you know, everyone's just always on. That was sort of the main thing for me back then.
What did you miss the most about being not being around your family?
I think when you're with your family, you just sort of hang out. And you're not even really hanging out. You're just always with them. You know, there would be some times, like when you're sort of by yourself, I think it was that off-season break sometimes, you know, you just feel like, oh, know, you just want to be hanging out with your family, not even hanging out, just being there around them. That was probably the main thing.
Yeah, it sounds like that comfort zone in moving over to Australia, you have to go out of that comfort zone and be uncomfortable. And yeah, it's a great lesson to actually hear when you say it like that. Then yeah, so talk us through that journey, you know, being close to playing NRL at Canberra Raiders and then, you know, where you are now. What was that? What's this journey been like for yourself?
So obviously I moved down to Canberra after Roosters. What I noticed about Canberra was a tight-knit group, because obviously there's not too much to do in Canberra. So you sort of have to hang out with the boys a lot. And but like that was what made it like so good. You become close with all these players and stuff like that. There was sort of times where then I would talk to the coach and I'd say pretty close. Obviously he got injured, which didn't help. There was times where I thought, you know, maybe it wasn't going to happen, which didn't for a long time. So, but I think it was just come in every day and do what I can. You know what I mean? Like work on the little things and try and get better every day. And I sort of got to that point where I was like, oh, if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, you know, be content with it kind of thing.
So, you know, when you make that test debut and you're thinking, okay, I've made it, I'm playing on the big stage, on a global, like on the world stage type of thing, playing for your country. Is that mindset of automatically thinking it should happen pretty soon to play NRL after you play test footy?
Kind of, but then it's like, yeah, I guess so. I guess you kind of feel like that. You're like, oh, maybe, you know, I didn't feel too out of depth there. Maybe I'll be able to handle it. But I think I still had so much to learn. I kind of knew, I thought I was ready back then, but like being here now, I was like, oh, I definitely wasn't ready. You know what I mean? Like now that I played a game, I was like, oh, yeah, definitely. I wasn't ready for it back then. So I think I just had so much more to learn.
What was the reason why you know, stayed in the fight?
I think there was always a dream, like obviously to play NRL, and I've obviously got a lot of mates that play NRL. And then obviously when you go to cookie camp, and I talk to guys like you and a couple of the OGs sort of keep me going. But it honestly was tough. But I think the motivation, talking to mates, telling me, you know, like just don't give up. It's gonna, you know, it's gonna happen. And then obviously having a good supportive partner too, that was the main thing. And then when I had my son, I was like, man, I really wanted, you know, to make my NRL debut, especially for him. So that was probably one of the main sort of motivators.
Man, I've heard players say time ran out. That's why I didn't make it, you know, because they just held on and held on and it just didn't come because it wasn't their time, not because of their ability. You know, what were those moments, you know, when you're talking to those boys that made it so appealing for you to still want to play at the highest level then rather than going, oh, man, it's just not happening?
The big one is when I think we played that Samoa mid-year test and you just sort of, I got like the lead up, the build up to it. You know, I talked to guys and they say like, you know, this is sort of like what the NRL sort of feels like, you know what I mean? Like not fully, but like the lead up and doing everything and how professional it was. And you're just like, man, you just really want to do that again. And it was only a one-off test. So I was like, man, I couldn't imagine doing this every week and how happy you would be. And like, it was sort of the motivator to, you know, chase the feeling, seeing how proud my family and stuff were, just me representing the Cook Islands. That was another motivator too, I reckon.
When you were playing in the cup systems, what were you doing for work?
So I was actually a sparky. I'm an electrician. We mainly did solar at the job. So I think it was after I moved back from Queensland, I sort of kind of, you know, me and my partner talked to him. We were like, look, we probably got to sort of, you know, get the plan B ready. We were chasing the dream for so long and you probably didn't have a really good, stable backup plan. So that's where I sort of, you know, worked towards my apprenticeship being a sparky.
How hard is it mentally and physically to balance the pursuit of professional rugby league and working and family?
Oh yeah, it was really tough. Even, you know, this year there was a lot of times this year I thought of giving up. You know, me and my partner had a lot of conversations and she was very honest. She said, look, it may not happen, and I had to sort of hearing that was tough. Especially, you know, like when I was did preseason and stuff like that, you think you're close. And then that was the main thing. But my partner said, look, if you're all in, you know, I'm all in. Let's, you know, this was going to be my last crack this year, honestly. And we were thinking of going over to the UK and stuff like that. So it was very tough. But, I mean, it feels good now. I'm thankful that I didn't stop, because there was honestly a lot of times where, I was like, nah, this is not it.
Well, speaking to our Cook Island teammate, Vincent Rennie, and he actually mentioned to me that you were thinking about, yeah, giving it up and moving on only a couple of weeks before your debut. Is that story true?
No, that is very true. I swear, I was just, like, even the week before I got the call from Benji, I was talking to my cup coach, and I was telling him, I was like, look, bro, I think I'm done. You know, I think I'm just going to stop playing footy for this year and have a rest. And he was just, I think he kind of knew something. You know? He was like, look, bro, I need you to play this week. Like, please just play. I played, ended up getting the call, and I was like, geez, like, that's how close I was to stopping.
That's crazy.
And that's why I was literally texting Vinny, and he was just telling me, bro, lucky you didn't stop. Like, it was just, it all happened so quick. And then, you know, I just couldn't, that's why I think it was just such a crazy sort of month from, you know, pretty much going to give up footy, and then, you know, you're playing first grade.
I'll talk about Benji's phone call next, but just quickly, what was that feeling like when you did get told?
It's actually a funny story. I was at work, we're on a roof, and I just told my workmates, I was like, look, I need to, you know, get off. I was getting this call, and then I got off, he called me, and I was shaking, eh? But he was so calm, he was just like, up to you, bro, what are you up to? I'm like, bro, I'm just at work. And then he's just like, oh, you're going to play next week? And I couldn't believe it. Told my workmates, and they were like, oh, cool. So it was a bit of a deal, wasn't it? Bro, it was a bit of a kill buzz. They were like, oh, so do you just need one day off work next week? And I was like, nah, man. And I was like, oh, girl. I was like, okay, shouldn't have told these dudes. Told my missus, and she was like, nah, stop lying. Like, stop lying. You're lying. Couldn't believe it. So, but yeah, that sort of brought me back down to earth a bit, eh, to be honest.
Oh, that's so cool. So how many days off work do you need? Man, so you're back to work the week after? Like, that's
it. They reckon, oh, do you just need the Friday off game day? I'm like,
nah, cuz. Oh, bro, that's mad. Hey, so that number, Tiger 287, you know, when you get given that number, the jersey presentation, you've talked about like how amazing it was to get the phone call. But when you cement that number and get given the jersey, yeah, talk us through that moment.
Yeah, no, it was. I think it was just the whole week. Obviously, I didn't play first grade ever, but I've always been on the sort of opposite side when you're not in the, you know, the 17. So you're always training against the other team, or, you know, you're separate to the. There's always like New South Wales Cup and then first grade, always separate kind of thing. So just doing the actual captain's run and doing reps with the first team, I was just buzzing the whole week. That was probably the main thing. And then obviously jersey prezzo and stuff. I try to keep it low-key. Like, I just didn't want it to be like a big deal and stuff with family.
Was it everything that you expected?
Yeah, 100%. Honestly, it has been this sort of whole month. You know, I mean, just like crazy, especially for my family. Like, I think it was more for them, especially my partner. You know, she had to hear me complain and sulk for the last 7-8 years. So for her, it was like, oh, finally.
So good. Well, I know your debut, you know, you didn't win that game, but then you went on to win the next two games. What's that feeling like? You know, you play that first game. Yeah, it was energy's high because you make the debut, but then eventually winning. I know Tigers hasn't had the best of seasons, but what's it like being in that winning circle and the winning dressing sheds as well?
Yeah, no, I tell you what, Tigers definitely have some passionate fans. And especially playing at Leichhardt, it was, you know, obviously the boys are telling me, like, bro, like, Leichhardt, it's a different buzz, trust me. And I remember we just run out for the warm-up, and I was just like, wow, it was crazy. I was like, man, we just lost like 9 in a row. And the fans are still out there, it was raining, and it's just like, and then after when we won, it just was going off. Couldn't believe it. And even like talking to my partner and stuff, they were just like, man, like, that's just crazy. It was crazy scenes at Leichhardt, and the boys said, like, nah, it's honestly a different space when you play there, and I definitely believed them after that.
Right, how was the preparation with leading into the game? Because, you know, when we made our debut, the hardest thing I found was trying to prep for the week of the game, but then your family members asking for tickets, asking for a shirt here, and you say, can you please leave me alone because I'm trying to focus on the game? What was that like for yourself? And being an older player, did you manage that pretty easy?
The Tigers were pretty good. I pretty much got a call straight after Benji called me, and they said, look, give me your partner's number, like pretty much putting all the pressure on her. So I think she had to deal with most of that. But family and stuff like that. I actually had a couple of mates sort of reach out to me. One of my mates, Roy Sunt, plays for the Sharks. You know, he called me. He's pretty much like, bro, like, you know, because I kept reposting stories and stuff, and he was like, look, bro, if I was you, just stay off your phone, like, just chill. Worry about the game first. And I actually took that in, and I was like, yeah, you know what, yeah, he's right. Like, I was sort of getting sort of stuck up and trying to reply to everyone. He goes, look, it's going to be all good. You don't need to reply to everyone. You'll be sweet. And then, so yeah, just talking to him kind of helped. But, yeah, I think especially being older, and I think playing those tests for the cookies, I think sort of prepped me for what the week might be like, the sort of pressure and the media and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think being older kind of helped, I guess.
That's some good advice from Royce.
It's very good.
Royce has been on our show as well, and he's a bit of a prankster, but some great advice around how to handle that week leading into your first game.
For sure.
Did you ever feel, you know, leading up to your debut in those years leading up, any pressure from, you know, family or friends, you know, thinking and yourself thinking, man, I better make it, otherwise, you know, I'm a bit of a failure? Or did you ever have those kind of thoughts or feelings?
When I was younger, I did have that a lot, because obviously I had a lot of mates debuting and we were sort of same age. You kind of feel like, oh, man, no, it's, if they're doing it, I should be doing it. We're the same age. We come through same system. And even at some points, I was sort of playing better than them as well. But I think the older I got, the more sort of content I was with it, in terms of it's not the be all end all. Like, it's just footy at the end of the day, and being more relaxed about just enjoying it. Because as time goes on, you sort of feel like, man, I've only got a couple more years to actually play footy. You know what I mean? And actually enjoy the game. And I think that's what I sort of did the last couple of years, was just enjoy playing rather than just trying to chase the dream, I guess.
Yeah, it takes that pressure away.
I think that's like probably one of the, yeah, just like words of advice, man. Just enjoy actually playing, because it just goes so fast.
Does having your son relieve some of that pressure as well? You know, there's pressures of footy, but there's also just being a dad. They don't really care if you win or lose. They just want dad at the end of the day.
100%. That's one of the main things. I guess when I was in my younger years, I always used to sulk about games. Like, if you do something wrong, worry about it. My partner would be like, mate, like, just get over it. Like, it's just footy. And then obviously now you get your son, I'm like, mate, I just got to go into dad mode straight away, pretty much. Like, it is footy. You do something wrong, got to brush it back. You know, got to be a dad first. And that's the most important thing. So I think that definitely helped a lot.
Last question from me. What's one bit of advice that you'd give to a player that is close or is on that journey of wanting to chasing that dream, that NRL dream of playing NRL, but just can't seem to just quite get that opportunity?
Oh, it's tough. Like, I know this sounds thing, but like, just don't give up, because honestly, you just don't know. You honestly don't know. Like, it could just happen like that. Like, you just don't want to sort of finish playing footy and just think, man, I wish I did that. You just want to do everything you can, put all your effort into it. And if it doesn't happen, at least you try. You know, be content with it that way, rather than just going, oh, I wish I just kept playing here or there. That's probably my main sort of advice. And then probably enjoy it too. Enjoy actually playing footy.
Hard.
Because I think for so many years, I was just like treating it like a job.
Like a job, yep.
Like, it's footy and you get to throw a ball around and play with your mates. So that's how good's that. That's when you're playing your best footy too, I reckon.
Final one from me. Our mate T, he's been trying to rally up all the Cook Island trips to have a strong, strong team. Are we going to see in your Cook Island jersey?
I hope so. I'm first trying to get picked. Obviously, I think a couple of boys are coming picked. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm trying to talk to a couple of boys today, train. I was talking to Joshua Piley. Like, come on, bro. Like, you know, would you rather be in Fiji or England? You know, you choose. But
very true.
I think, obviously, last year, you know, that Fiji game we had, I think that was sort of building towards a new sort of generation of players, and I think we can build something special if we get a couple of old heads, you know, come into camp and T running around.
he's still playing A grade. Hey, he's ready to go if he's need to.
If not, bro, I'll find a way in camp. You know that.
Nah, that's unreal, man. Hey, just from all of us here at Nijin Footy, it's been an absolute pleasure to be able to hear your journey. You know, just spread through what it's like to just stay the course and just keep working hard and being persistent and never giving up. And, you know, at the end of it, you can get rewarded. But so I love your story, man, and I wish you nothing but love, and hopefully you get more games in the future.
Bro, very, very proud of you, brother.
Yes, thank you. Nijin
Knowledge. Yes, if you're new to Nijin Knowledge, this is our competitive component of our show, where Sammy and I, we ask one another three questions and we keep a score. And at the end of the season, the loser will be getting a Nijin Footy tattoo on their bum The score is Sammy's on 9, I'm on 8.5, and it's my turn to be asking you three questions.
And I should point out the reason why it's close now is because the questions that I give, there's a chance for my friend.
I'll still get them wrong, but.
No, but I give you multiple choice questions. And
well, you'll be happy today.
Or will I?
Because I've got three multiple questions.
Multiple questions or multiple choice questions?
Multiple choice questions. Our theme here, or my theme here, is how well do you know your Nesian footy co-host? So our experts on the show.
Okay, yes. Oh, man.
Why are you rolling your eyes back?
Yeah, I know them well. Like the back of my hand, all over it.
All right, my first question. The great Sala Tonga Tuki.
Yes.
NRLW superstar for the Tigers and also the New South Wales Blues.
Don't ask me how many
games. State of origin player. What is Sala Tonga Tuki's junior club? Is it A, Minchinberry Jets, B, St. Mary's Saints, C, Glenmore Park Brumbies, or D, Bondi United?
It's definitely the Bondi United out in the eastern suburbs. I'm going to go Minchinberry Jets.
A, Minchinberry Jets.
Yeah, lock that one in.
Some great NRL players came out of Minchinberry Jets. The May brothers, Terrell May. You also got Spencer Lenu. But Sala Tonga Tuki, her junior club was C, Glenmore Park Brumbies.
Oh, was it the Glenmore Park? Oh, you know what? I remember now because I said that's where Zaikatoa,
Joseph Suleiti.
Why does it always come to me after?
You know, see, you know this.
All right, good question. I like that.
All right, our second question is the great Totai Kefu. He played for the Wallabies 60 times. How many points did he score for the Wallabies? Is it A, 40, B, 43, or C, 50? I had an extra one, but I crossed that one out because give you a better chance. 40, 43, or 50 in 60 games.
So what's that about? Eight tries in his test career. Definitely didn't get a field goal in there. No way. I want to have 40.
40?
Yeah.
Totai Kefu scored 50.
And he was a try-scoring machine, but I didn't realise he scored that many.
So what's that, 10 tries?
Yeah, about that, yep.
10 tries and
10
60.
Tries.
Ooh, the man. All right, my last one is our good friend Shelley Long.
0-3 here.
Who we just spoke to.
3. Should know these.
Where was Shelley Long born? Was it A, Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea?
She said this a couple of times too.
B, Mount Hagen, Papua New Guinea. C, Innisfail, Queensland. A, B, or C? Port Moresby, Mount Hagen, or Innisfail?
Was she born in PNG? I know she, obviously she's PNG, but was she born there? She's not from the capital, is she? Can we phone?
Phone a friend. This is then who wants to be a millionaire.
Well, I'm playing as
start,
if
we should start doing that.
Yeah, I'm playing as if I want to win a million.
Well,
on this
how
one.
Frustrated is it?
Oh,
this
damn it! All right, I'm going to go Port Moresby.
A, Port Moresby is correct.
Yes.
Great work, Sammy.
Yes,
you've
got one.
Point.
I've got a point.
Got a point. That takes you to 10.
Yes.
I'm on 8.5. And that's it for today, Sammy. Nesian footy done. Remember, you can catch up on all our chats, including last week's with Donnie Singe, who had some amazing advice for our young Pacifica footy players, wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, we look so nervous in that little clip too of him talking about bending us, but anyway.
PTSD. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.